kids like you, maker of heaven, Lord of the land and Lord of the sea, holy and true, faithful and able, Lord of all time and eternity.
Hello, God bless you. This is your brother Ferdinand, and this school of divine revelation is life-changing. Even for me, as we continue to study together, I realize that if we can get a revelation of who God is, if we can continue to see God as He is, wow, it will change everything. And in the last one, we saw that God is beyond exaggeration. If you remember the Queen of Sheba in 1 Kings chapter 10, when she went to go and see Solomon, she had heard a lot about Solomon and his accomplishments, his wisdom, and all the things that he built, the house of the palace of the forest of Lebanon, you know, the temple and all the majesty of his throne, you know, 6 lions on one side, 6 lions on the other side, 12 in all, with steps leading up to the throne, and Solomon sitting on his throne. The Queen of Sheba, when she saw Solomon, she began to confess. She said, "I thought that the people that told me about you, they were exaggerating. But I have now seen that half of who you are was not told to me. Half of your greatness, they didn't describe up to half of who you are." And I say to you, servant of God, child of God, that thing is an accurate description of who God is. Half of who He is. Half of the glory of His kingdom. Half. When they say heaven is wonderful. When you get there, by God's grace, you are going to see that half of the glory of heaven was not fully told. When we read the book of Revelation, you hear John the Beloved saying, "And I saw a sea like this." He said the street of the city was pure gold. You know, he said, "I saw this like this." He's trying to use earthly things to define glorious heavenly realities. By the time we see the glory of His kingdom, we see the majesty of the throne. Hey, the throne of fire on which our Father sits. We see the throne of grace. We see this, the seven spirits of God. We see Jehovah. Hey, we are going to conclude that one quarter, not even half, a trillionth of who He is was not preached to us. Oh, that our preachers, we stop preaching things and start preaching God, start revealing God, start describing God, start causing us to engage with the person and the character of God. Take away all the idols, Father, from the church and turn our hearts to engage God. Engage God. Gaze on His beauty. Engage His attributes, His character. Oh! And the more we do, God is going to become bigger in our eyes. And the bigger God gets in our eyes, the tinier our mountains will become. Glory to Jesus. And so we are continuing to look at the exceeding God. And that's the summary of all that God is. All that God is. He exceeds by an incalculable margin. Notice the words I'm using. An incalculable margin. Everything we can conceive or imagine about Him. And you're going to see several references. I'm going to quickly mention some of them as we continue. Of this exceeding character of God. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7, we read of the exceeding grace of God towards us in Christ. The grace that exceeds. This is grace, but it's exceeding grace. Paul told the same story in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14. And he was talking to Timothy. He began to talk about the exceeding grace of God towards him that got him saved and that changed his life. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 14. In Ephesians chapter 1, 19 to 20. Ephesians 1, 19 to 20. We are told that of the exceeding greatness of God's power that is at work in us. So exceeding grace. Now you are reading of the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. The power that he exerted when he raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21, we are told that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think or imagine. Now, even his promises in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, we are told that the promises of God that God has given to us, exceedingly great and precious promises. You know, that by these we might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And in Jude 24, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, we are told that God gives exceeding joy, joy that exceeds. He gives life that exceeds, abundant life. In John chapter 10, verse 10, even his judgments are exceeding great. In Revelation 16 and verse 21, and his glory exceeds. You read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 to 18. The glory that exceeds and excels. Blessed be God forevermore, our exceeding God. He exceeds imagination. He exceeds description. He exceeds in all that he is, in his ability, in his power. That's why you don't put limitations on a God who is not limited. You can't say this is incurable, because he exceeds in power above doctors and the hospitals. You can't put, because you see, the reason that, you know, we declare things impossible or incurable is because we are not unlimited. We are not unlimited. So we say, no, this cannot be done. But a person who is completely, utterly unlimited cannot have limits. He cannot have boundaries to his ability. So you don't put him in the same bracket as doctors in a hospital, so that what, you know, doctors cannot do. And praise God for doctors. I mean, I myself am a doctor, even though I don't do active medical practice for many years now. But thank God for good doctors. But God is not our classmate. Jesus is the great physician. Hallelujah. He exceeds in power, exceeds in compassion. And that's why when things are late, you don't put lateness on somebody who is eternal. You see, somebody who is eternal cannot be late, because he was there before time and lateness arrived. Hey. He can even access the past. Do you know that God has access to the past? That's why he can blot out our sins. You see, imagine you committed the sin 5, 10 years ago or 3 years ago, and then now you are repenting. How will the sins in the past be blotted out? It's because God, you see, somebody who is eternal has all of time in front of him, and he can access the past, the present, the future. He's in control of all of them. Hey, such a person cannot be limited. So we see in scripture that the greatness of God is unsearchable. Psalm 145 and verse 3. Psalm 145 and verse 3. Great is the Lord, and greatly, highly to be praised. And his greatness is so vast and deep as to be unsearchable. The Message version said, God is magnificent. He can never be praised enough. There are no boundaries to his greatness. There are no boundaries to his greatness. He can never be praised enough. His greatness, the Living Bible said, is beyond discovery. You cannot see the limit of his greatness, of Yahweh. His judgments. And when the Bible talks about the divine judgments, it actually talks about his decisions. His immutable, unchangeable decisions. His judgments are unsearchable. And the wisdom behind them are unsearchable. Notice the word unsearchable. It means unfathomable. You cannot get to the end of it. Romans 11, from 33 to 36. As Paul was writing the book of Romans, when he got to verse 33, he broke out in wonder. He said, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. The man was talking, the Spirit of God was flowing through him, you know, dictating scripture to Tertius, who wrote it down. And as he was, there was an overflow. He just said, the depth of the riches, he exclaimed. the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments? His ways are past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who was his advisor when he was creating planet Earth? Who has first given anything to him that he can come and claim anything again? God will have to pay him back. Hi. He said, for of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever and ever and ever. Wow. Oh. The Amplified Bible says in verse 33, he said, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unfathomable, inscrutable, unsearchable are his judgments, his decisions, and how untraceable, mysterious, undiscoverable are his ways, his methods, his paths. If you understand, if you get an idea of this thing, you know that God cannot be stranded. The fact that he has not showed up does not mean he's not doing anything. Hey, I'm talking to you, somebody there. I said the fact that God has not manifested does not mean he's not working. He's not doing something. See how mysterious, untraceable. God does not, he's not limited to our options. When you can't see a way out, he can see more than 1,000. He is God. He's unlimited in his personality, in his attributes, boundless in his grace towards us in Christ. What, oh God, reveal yourself to us. Turn away our eyes from vanity in the church and return our eyes to Jehovah. Hi. You see, the reason for all of our troubles is the lack of the knowledge of God. But instead of preaching God, our preachers are preaching things. They are teaching people how to use a God they don't know to collect things. Oh no, God, send a revival of a focus on God, on Jesus, in the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hoy. One version. Edgar Goodspeed. He said, how inexhaustible God's resources, wisdom, and knowledge are. Can you imagine a person that has inexhaustible resources? Inexhaustible resources. Spiritual resources, material resources, financial, inexhaustible resources of wisdom, of knowledge, of power, inexhaustible life resources, inexhaustible resource of life, life that is inexhaustible, power that is inexhaustible, spiritual power, mental power. Because what you call mental power and physical power, we are created by this spiritual person called God. God is a spirit. And those that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Inexhaustible. How inexhaustible are God's resources? J.B. Phillips, in his translation, the New Testament in modern English, J.B. Phillips said, frankly, I stand amazed at the unfathomable complexity of God's wisdom and God's knowledge. How could man ever understand his reasons for action? Or explain the methods of his working. Hey, you know, a big reason for doubt is that you don't know how the thing is going to happen. I said, the principal reason for doubt is that people don't know how. Okay, God is going to do this. How? Remember when Elisha made the prophecy that said by this time tomorrow, a basin of fine flour will be sold for, you know, $1 at the gate of this place, you know, something to that effect. The top official of the king, you know what the guy said? He said, how? If the Lord were to open the windows of heaven and start pouring down something, can this thing happen? Because he can't see how. But he didn't know that God didn't need to open the windows of heaven. The grains were already in the camp of the enemy, just outside the walls. And by the following morning, the word that God spoke came to pass. Hey, the word that God spoke came to pass. And then the man came to eat a prophecy. He came to eat from a prophecy that he did not believe. Oh, but Elisha told him, I said, you are doubting what I said because you don't know how. If God is to open the windows of heaven, you are going to see it, but you will not eat it. Don't let unbelief cut you from the promises of God. Don't worry about how. The reason, the point is that the fact that you don't know how does not mean that God does not have how. That is why you are believing God. You are not believing yourself. So leave how alone and focus on the person who will do it. If you see him as he is, you will not worry about how. Because he can do. God promised Moses, he said, I'm going to give meat to all of these people. Moses said, what? What? Even if you are to, if you are to gather together all the fish in the sea. Eh? This is Numbers chapter 11. And I believe it's, you know, as God was speaking to the people. Eh? You know, is it, listen to what Moses said to God in verse 21. Eh? The people whom I am among are 600,000 men on foot. And then you say you are going to give them meat and they are going to eat for a whole month. 600,000 men. If you give each of them one wife and two children, eh, that is at least 2.4 million people, somewhere between 2 million and 3 million or more. That was the population of Israel in the wilderness. God said they are all going to eat meat. Moses said, shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to provide enough for them? Where are you going to get this thing you are talking about? And the Lord said to Moses, Numbers 11:23. He said, has the Lord's arm become short? When did my power grow weak? He said, now you will see. Whether what I say will happen to you or not, you will see. Hey, I'm saying to you, you will see whether the word of God will come to pass in your life or not. Just believe it. And you know what God did? The Bible said, God, in verse 31, now a wind went out from the Lord and brought quail from the sea. Quail. You know quail? Quail are birds. These are birds. You keep reading. He said, he brought quail from the sea and left them fluttering, flying around the camp. Quails from the sea. Excuse me, please. You don't get birds from the sea. Look what the Bible is saying here. There's a miracle I don't want you to miss. Don't think that God went to a wilderness and said all the birds, they are come and start flying. He said it's quails from the ocean. Imagine getting fish from the desert. That's what you are hearing here. Live how? When you are believing God, leave the question of how. Do you know how a baby grows in the womb? Even you are a doc, if you are a doctor, do you know the details of what's going on inside that place? Leave the how. God said to when Elisha gave the prophecy about water. Remember, the king of Israel was going to fight against the king of Moab, and then there was no water. And then they cried to Elisha. Elisha said, fill this valley with ditches. He said, you will not see rain. You are not going to see wind. But these ditches will be filled with water. In other words, you won't know how, but it will come to pass. This thing, you're going to have water. And the Bible says that's exactly what happened. So, who can explain his method of working? The great God. Do you know that his love for us is unfathomable? We have seen that his greatness is unsearchable. His judgments, his decisions are endless, unsearchable. His love for us is unfathomable. It passes understanding. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Paul was praying for the Ephesians in verses 18, 19. He said that you will know what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of the love of God, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think or imagine, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, hopes, or dreams. He said, to him alone be praise and glory forever and ever. What a mighty God! What a mighty God! His power and wonders, his miracles are unsearchable, without number. I'm going to post the notes in the group as well so that you can continue this study on your own. God's power, his wonders are without number. In Job chapter 9 and verse 10, he said he performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. The Good News Bible said, God hung the stars in the sky, the Dipper, the Orion, the Pleiades, and the constellations, the stars of the south. We cannot understand the great things he does and to his miracles there is no end. The King James Version said, he does great things past finding out. Yay! And wonders without number. Wonders without number. Miracles that cannot be counted. They are manifesting in your life. They are manifesting through your ministry. Wonders without number. Don't think that when God does one miracle, his power is being depleted. I saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh boy, toy. Yeah. I saw Jesus was on his way. Remember that man that complained and then the daughter died. And Jesus was on his way to the man's place. And the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years touched the hem of his garment and virtue, power went out and cured a problem that all the doctors in Palestine could not cure. Jesus said, who touched me? Who touched me? I perceive that power, virtue has gone out of me. And you know the rest of the story. But here is the point. The woman tapped power, sufficient power to solve a problem that all the doctors in Palestine could not solve. And there was still enough power inside Jesus to proceed to the man's house and raise Talitha from the dead. When he got to the place, he put everybody out and he took the girl by the hand. He said, Talitha, Kumi, Talitha, little girl, I said to you, arise. But virtue went out. But there is still enough. Listen, don't think that when God does something for you, he has to go and recharge. He doesn't need to recharge his batteries. He is endless in power. Hoy! What an awesome God. What wonders without number. Believe God for them in your life because you cannot exhaust his treasury. Glory to Jesus. His riches are unsearchable, untraceable, unfathomable, past finding out. The riches of God. Listen to what Paul said by the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. He said, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, God's consecrated people, this grace, favor, privilege has been granted, graciously entrusted, to proclaim to the Gentiles the unending, boundless, fathomless, incalculable, and exhaustless riches of Christ. Wealth which no human being could have searched out. Endless, untraceable, the wealth of Christ. You see, when the Bible talks about the riches of Christ, some people will spiritualize it. What are you spiritualizing? Don't spiritualize what God has generalized. The riches of Christ include everything. They are endless, unfathomable, untraceable, incalculable. It means if you try to input it into a calculator or a computer, it will hang. You can't calculate it. So take away every poverty mentality from your mind. Your master, your savior owns heaven and earth. The earth is the Lord's. The heavens are the Lord's. The fullness thereof. He can supply your needs. His anger and all his other attributes are also unsearchable. His holiness, his wrath. That is why nobody should take God for granted. Nobody should fall on the wrong side. Nobody should incur the judgment of God because you will be dealing with something that is terrible beyond description. Look at Psalm 90 verse 11. He said, who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due to you. Who can comprehend the power of your anger? Who knows what the anger of God can do when it manifests? Eh? Hi. Easy to read version said, no person really knows the full power of your anger. God. You say, but God, our fear and respect for you is as great as your anger. Do you hear what the Bible is saying here? He said, our fear and our respect of you is as great as your anger. We are supposed to relate with God, commensurate to his attributes, to his character. Hey, if his fear is great, our respect for him should not be small. If the terror of God, Brother Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, he said, we persuade men. if the anger of God is great and terrible, then our respect and reverence for God should be great. It should be equivalent, commensurate. Hoy! What an awesome God. If the love of God for us is great and immeasurable, our love for God and our service for God should also be great. We should not be serving casually a God that loved us radically. Don't you think there's something wrong with that? To bring casual service for radical love is not equivalent. If God is great, our giving to Him, our offering should be a great offering. The offering of our lives, the offering of our resources for the glory of His name. Hey, if He didn't withhold anything, we should not be withholding something from Him. If He gave His only Son, we should give our only lives. Whoa! Glory to Almighty God. Nobody knows. That's why, you know, the fear of God has disappeared from inside church, because a lot of us in the church, we don't know the wrath of God. We have no idea of the judgment of God. And you know, when you start talking like this, somebody says, you see, you are preaching a hard message. What hard message? Look, this thing is not about church denomination. It's about the character of the person with whom we have to do. We cannot treat him casually because he's not our classmate. May God restore the fear of God. Look, when Nebuchadnezzar got angry, his own furnace was heated up 7 times. Who knows what will happen when God gets angry? The furnace of the lake of fire, who knows the trillions of times it has been heated up for the enemies of God? Don't go there. Don't live a careless Christian life, that a hypocritical life that will set you up for judgment on the last day. Who knows the power of God's anger? Nebuchadnezzar's face turned purple with rage, became distorted with rage. That's how the Message version and the NLT put it. His face was twisted. He said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that I said something and you are arguing with me? Is it true? Is it true?" I imagine the day when people are going to stand before God and God will say, "Is it true that I wrote my Bible and you are arguing with my word? Is it true that I sent my son and you were too busy to pay attention to the Savior that I sent for your salvation? Is it true?" And ladies and gentlemen, wrath will come out and you are going to hear, "Depart from me into everlasting fire. Multitude will perish." Our God is a terrible God. Our God is great in power. He's great in all His character. Don't divide Him. Don't say, "I like the goodness of God, I don't like this side." No. As we are going to see, our God is a balanced God. He is the same person. And we cannot pick and choose what we like in His character and in His attributes. So all of God's character are endless. All divine attributes are powerful. Do you know that the wisdom of God is omnipotent? The love of God is all powerful. It's not just God's power that is omnipotent. Every divine attribute carries omnipotence. In fact, every divine attribute is infused with other divine attributes. What a boundless God. And finally, do you know that God's gift to us, Jesus Christ, is unsearchable? Jesus is called in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, God's indescribable gift. He said, "Now, thanks be to God for His gift, precious beyond telling, indescribable, inexpressible." The Greek word is anekdiegetos, too wonderful for words. Too wonderful for words. Friends, a journey in an infinite God can have no limits. May you grow. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are the exceeding God. You exceed expectation. Your promises are exceeding. There is nothing about you that is limited. Take away the veil from our eyes that we may know you. And Lord, any impossibility facing this child of God, we don't have to know how. I invite your intervention, your omnipotence. I invite it into this situation. And we receive supernatural solution in Jesus' name. Thank you, gracious Father. Let your power manifest on their behalf. And Father, we pray for a sense of reverence to continue to grow in our hearts towards you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, gracious Father. And all glory and praise to you and to you alone. Continue to unveil yourself and reveal yourself to us in ways we have never known you before. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen and amen. The Lord bless you. Remember to share these messages with others. We don't have any other agenda other than the people of God will grow to know him. And the bigger God gets in your eyes, the tinier your mountains will become. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Maker of heaven, Lord of the land, and Lord of the sea.